Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading again from Revelation chapter 2, the words of the Lord Jesus given to John, to the church at Smyrna, and as well to us. For the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And as we'll soon read here, he is the first and the last. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Let's pray, giving thanks for all that is given here, all that is included both that we might think of immediately, and all that is, as it were, hidden, but all part of the whole of Scripture, especially that of which the Lord Jesus said of himself, the first and the last. There, from eternity to eternity, there as Creator, and the last thing that we'll know on this earth, as we know the earth and the times, is that he will be judge coming again. Let's pray to God through him. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come asking in his name to be taught, to be led into the truth of these words here by the Spirit who alone can lead into all truth, and thyself as well, doing with us as with the apostles on the day of thy resurrection, when thou didst open their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And we pray that thou would give us understanding of these Scriptures as we need to know it, not only written to this church singular, but also in the end of that letter writing, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, plural. We know this is but one of the seven that thou didst write to. We know also there were others that were written to by Paul and by James and by Peter. And now, Father, as we have this one that thou didst speak to through the pen of John, we pray that thou would give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith to this church, and as well to remember the message from thy mouth to John, to all of the churches, to all of the seven, and to all of the others, and to those that were here in their beginning while thou wast on earth. And then we think of the church at the day of Pentecost and the mighty work done there, and how thou didst say by the pen of Luke, and even through what he wrote concerning that blessed day and the days following, that thou dost add to the church daily such as should be saved. And we pray for that, Father, again, that there might be a mighty ingathering. First a reviving of the church, and then an ingathering by the church and added to the church, that the church will once again be a salt and a light in this nation that we fear has become a salt that hath lost its savor and is only good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. Father, we think of the strong influences of the news media, the strong influences of the schools, the strong influences of government, and many deluded by it, and the lies that are spoken. All of that, Father, that we come to a place, even as described in your word, that they call evil good and good evil. And Father, we are doing so, killing the unborn and keeping alive the wicked, and often siding with them in their wickedness throughout the world. And we, Father, we pray that we might realize these things rightly and do rightly to not only protect ourselves, to protect the innocent, but to do that which is needful for others as well, and that we might be as our country was formerly, helping other countries when there was a terrible onslaught and a terrible invasions. We think of that by Hitler, and we think of that by the Japanese, and we think of that by others that have waged these wars in the past, and how we could be used to help others. And we give thanks, Father, that often the fighting was on other lands and not on our own shores and our own land. And we give thee thanks for that peace. We often confess our sin of the wars that were wrong within our country, the civil war that took place, the awfulness of it. And we pray that we may know that we and our fathers have sinned. And we pray that we may remember it in such a way that we may repent in such a way that we do not repeat it, as we are seeing so much animosity. And we pray, first of all, that it might be recognized as wrong, no matter where it is, in the church, in the school, in the home, in the government, that we might see these things, that we may see it in ourselves. For, Father, we cannot oftentimes stop the sin of others, but we could stop the sin of ourselves with thy leading, thy blessing through Christ, and help us to do it, even to take the beam out of our own eye first, that we might then see clearly to take the splinter out of another's eye. We pray that that might be true in each and every institution in our nation, the church first, the home, the schools, and the news media, with its many lies and its terrible destructive ways, that it might be recognized by us as the people and by them as personnel in those places, that thou dost not allow them to ruin our nation as other nations have been ruined sometimes by these lies. Help us to recognize it and to do what is needed. And again, especially, Father, that the church might preach repentance toward Thee and faith toward Christ, the only answer for all wickedness and evil. Not only the answer to stop it, but to be forgiven for it. And we pray that we might realize that great need of justification. We pray also for the secondary blessings. We pray for those in sickness that they might have healing, for those in injury that they might have the same. We pray for the needs in the home, the troubled homes, the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray for the schools that they might be taught, that they might have the fear of Thee, which is the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom might be again taught in the schools and in the scientific places, and that there might be the blessing in the workplace, in every place, Father, that it might be sanctified by Thy way in Christ. We pray for the blessings in nature for those who are suffering under the ravages of storm, flood, wind, earthquakes, the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands again, Father, that they might recognize the awfulness of the lie that brings them to such foolish and wicked wars, one against another in their own countries, and then the war raging between Israel and the Palestinians, that they both might come to peace with Thee and peace with each other, all through Christ. Amen. As we look again at this letter, the shortest of the seven, only four verses, some of them being much longer than this one. I believe some of them up to 11 or 12 verses. But here we have a short letter from the 8th verse through the 11th verse, and much in it, especially that first verse that we have been considering and have not got much further than that. Although we did see somewhat in the next verse of the people spoken to and spoken of as well. Two different groups, two different peoples. One that Christ knew as, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And then the other group, also in the same sentence, same verse, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. What a difference. Church of Christ, body of Christ, or synagogue of Satan, worshippers of the devil, worshippers of him who is a murderer and a liar, and that's all. And as Christ said to some of the Jews who first believed what he said, and then began to go against him when he spoke further, told them to continue in his word, and the need of being loosed from their bondage that was still there. How he said, you will do the works of your father, the devil, the works. And it's being done, literally in every nation. Some nations, there are churches that are being persecuted. Other nations have only churches that are assaulted, that have lost its savor. Much like our own nation. And I'm afraid we are there. We're allowing many other forces to lead, as it were, to influence, and to hardly even want to use the word guide. I probably should say pull into the ditch. And that's what's being done. If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. We need to see these things as they are. And they are troublesome, very, very troublesome. I have feared what the future may hold for our country because of, first of all, the church, but then the lack of the church, what then unfolds in very terrible ways. And I feared what could take place in our nation, and some of it already is taking place, the death of our unborn. 3,000 a day, 1 million a year. And yet, some want it fiercely, and others don't seem to care enough. There are some organizations that are working to stop this, but as a whole, us as a people, we as a church are very negligent, very careless, neglecting what we should do, standing up, and as it were, lifting up our voice like a trumpet Like God says to Isaiah, show my people their sin and Israel their transgressions. We are transgressing God's law every time a baby is killed. Some of them being butchered in their mother's womb, torn apart. Like a man would cut an animal in pieces. Awful beyond description. When will we wake up? The Lord Jesus said to another church through the Apostle Paul, it's high time to wake out of sleep. High time. Do we know it? Or we will wake up too late when it is too late, either by the judgment of God or what God allows under the judgment of men, taking away our freedom. Yes, here's a church of which Christ said, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. The poverty there is used in a unique way, but thou art rich. It's a different kind of poverty than the church at Laodicea, the last church that Christ wrote to. He said, thou sayest thou art rich. But he says, you don't know that you're poor and wretched and miserable, blind and naked. That was a terrible kind of poorness. Awful. You say you are rich. That's the worst poverty. It's one thing when we know we're slipping, when we know we're becoming lukewarm, when we know we are wrong, but maybe careless in it, neglectful in it. But that church said they were rich and were poor. We don't know what this church was saying. All we have here is Christ's words to them. He who is the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. We have spent much time on that, but we should never lose that message. Never, never, never. Paul said to the Corinthians, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Yes, the first and the last. The same yesterday, today, and forever. We who are older needed Him yesterday. We need Him today. We need Him tomorrow. We need Him forever. Heaven won't be heaven if He's not there. No need of the sun because Christ is the light. And we need Him now. He who said, without me you can do nothing, spoke it just before His death, recorded in John chapter 15. He of whom Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. He knew when he was weak that his strength must come from Christ. And that's why evidently this church knew this blessing that was needed. This is one of the two churches that did not have to be called to repentance. All the other five did. This is the second church. The first church had to be called to repentance because they had left their first love. This church evidently is still in that. And Christ can say then, He who was the first, always right, first as creator, first as lawgiver, first as the one in whom we live and move and have our being, the one who knows us before we were formed in our mother's womb, the one who knew us and looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did good, and there were none. That's where He began with me. That's where He must begin with you, if He ever begins. And He will be the first. When you are dead in sin, quickened together with Himself, or God the Father, by the Spirit, quickens together with Christ. He first, God first, the Holy Spirit first, we dead, God in His grace working. That's why this church was there. That's the only reason. God did with this church like he does with every church. We read in the letter to the church at Ephesus, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Not chosen in Christ because we chose to be in Christ and God had chosen Christ, as some would say, but chosen to become part of Christ, to be made part of Christ. And again, as that second chapter said, you who were dead in sin hath he quickened together with Christ. Chosen before the foundation of the world, born dead in Adam, lived dead in sin, walked the wrong way, according to the course of this world. Every church, every person begins that way. Every person must hear the words, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's not for men only. That's for women. That's for children. God often addresses men, meaning everybody, meaning all of society. And that's what is meant. Not only to see the kingdom of God, but also, as Christ said further to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. First, we must see it, come to believe it, ourselves outside of it, Christ the door, we the sinner, God the Holy One, Christ the Savior, the first and the last. And then, quickened together with him. That had happened here. That's why there was a church in Smyrna, a church that could be written to, a church that could hear, a church that could be exhorted, a church that could be encouraged, because they were in Christ, and Christ in them. As Paul said, writing to the church at Corinth in his second letter, examine yourselves. Know ye now that except Christ Jesus be in you, you'll be reprobates. And we must be in Christ, the only hope that we can have in him, from him, by him, through him, and what he did, who he is. All of it must be believed as it is so wonderfully in Scripture. And before we move on, I just want to mention the first and the last as Creator. Creator. One that spoke, and it was done. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Beginning. God's beginning. God's timetable as well. Tells us that he did it in the beginning. He tells us what he did the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, and it was finished, and it was good. And it was all done by speaking. That's all. He spoke it into existence. God can do that. The Lord Jesus showed it in a reality when he spoke to people that were sick, people that were dead. Lazarus, come forth. And there he came, stumbling in his grave clothes, out of the grave. The world was without form and void. And we must believe that. It is part of Scripture. It is part of the first. And if you don't believe the first, what will it be on the last day? The last day of this heaven and earth as we know it. When Christ comes in the clouds of glory and every eye shall see him, what will it be like if you don't believe in him as Creator, Redeemer, Life-Giver, Lawgiver, everything. Again, those words, without me, you can do nothing. You must believe that as those in Smyrna did believe it, to be rich. From their poverty to riches, from their blindness to seeing, from their deadness to life, from their darkness to light. All of that is true for you and me as well as them, for them as well as us, for the whole world. The whole world lieth in darkness and wickedness. Christ alone is the hope of this world. Whether it's a war-torn nation, or whether it's a foolish nation like our own, wicked in our many, many ways, not only the murder, as we mentioned, of the unborn, the hardness of heart of men, women, government, church. Christ said regarding divorce, that was allowed by Moses because the hardness of your heart. Just one of the things, and there are many more than I can say in these few minutes today. But they're all there. And if you are like that, you are in that number that Christ describes here, which say they are Jews and are not. Now, it's true that not everybody says, I'm a Jew. Not everybody says, I'm religious. There are agnostics. There are atheists. There are unbelievers. But here, he was speaking particularly to the church, and then to those which say they are Jews and are not. But what he says here about that particular group, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and particularly Jacob, and then particularly Judah, Jews, the sons of Judah, the two tribes which were separated from when the 10 tribes left after Rehoboam became king, Solomon's son. They separated, and then there was Israel, the 10 tribes, and Judah, Benjamin staying with them, and probably many of the Levites, and probably some of those of Simeon as well, who were to the south of Judah. But they were called Jews. And that word had its beginning way back in the time of Hezekiah. Also, we can say they were called Hebrews. Abram was called the Hebrew when he rescued Lot. And we can have these different names, Jews, Israelites, Hebrews. Some of these are recognized today, and they are still there. Jews and Israel, both prominently recognized and heard. But all of it because of God's way with them and with the church today. That's a whole different story, but there is both. And in the church, because of Christ, we should not have the hatred that is there of those that Christ was born among. And we'll go into that another week. But think on God's word. Hear it today.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.